It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Mexico massacre.
Eden, four of my grandchildren are burnt. Shut up.
That is our top story at noon. Shootout south of the border. A family in mourning today after an ambush in northern Mexico. Three women and six children are dead. Police say they were all part of the same family, all Mormons, and all killed in a gang-related ambush south of the Arizona border. Correspondent Tarika Duncan says the family was on its way to a wedding in the States when they were shot and killed.
The victims all belong to a decades-old Mormon community based in northern Mexico. The youngest victims were twin babies, just 7 months old. Some of the children miraculously survived the ambush, but sustained gunshot wounds. Relatives say five remain in the hospital.
Tarika Duncan reporting. The FBI now part of the investigation, and authorities believe drug cartels are to blame.
I was so angry. It's so angry and yet so sad. It was horrifying.
That woman and aunt to one of the victims.
You can't explain how there's evil people in this world that could do such a thing like that.
One relative says he believes the victims were not the intended targets and this was a tragic case of mistaken identity.
Did stop shooting when they probably realized it was women and children.
Leif Langford says he believes one of the drug cartels involved in the shooting thought it was attacking a rival gang. A Colorado man facing federal charges after police said he planned to attack a synagogue in Pueblo. Authorities say 27-year-old James Holzer met with undercover agents last week to talk about using pipe bombs to blow up Temple Emmanuel.
Mr. Holzer repeatedly expressed his hatred of Jewish people and his support of a racial holy war.
U.S. Attorney Jason Dunn says Holzer told undercover agents about the plan last Friday.
Mr. Holzer indicated that he wanted to do something that would let Jewish people in the Pueblo community know that they are not welcome.
Dunn says Holzer also told authorities he hired someone to put arsenic in the water pipes of that synagogue last year. More closed-door transcripts will be released today as the Democratic impeachment probe of President Trump continues.
Deranged, hyper-partisan impeachment witch hunt.
At a campaign stop last night in Lexington, Kentucky, President Trump blasted the probe, calling it a declaration of war.
With last week's vote, the far left has declared war on American democracy itself.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul joining in last night, saying it's time to unmask the person who launched the probe to begin with.
The whistleblower needs to come before Congress as a material witness because he worked for Joe Biden at the same time Hunter Biden was getting money from corrupt oligarchs. I say tonight to the media, do your job and print his name.
Today, the Democratic-led impeachment probe taking an interesting twist when Republicans announced they were calling Adam Schiff as a fact witness. The GOP accuses the man heading up the probe of running a kangaroo court in deciding which witnesses to call and what testimony to make public. It is election day across America. Governor's races in Kentucky and Mississippi, along with legislative races in Virginia and New Jersey, will top an otherwise non-exciting off-year election. Security expert Chris Krebs says the big test for election security comes next year. And he's got a big eye on the Russians.
They're going to be back. They're trying to get into our heads. They're trying to hack our brains, so to speak, and ultimately have us lose faith in our process.
Krebs says a big goal for next year is to back up digital votes in all 50 states with a paper record. Popeye's lovers take their chicken sandwiches seriously. And in Maryland, a fight over a popular chicken sandwich led to someone being stabbed to death.
This is related to the release of the sandwich here at this restaurant.
The incident taking place outside of a Popeye's restaurant, 20 minutes away from Washington, D.C. Police still looking for the suspect. Still to come this Tuesday, Election Day in New York and PA. We'll take a closer look. Murder mystery in Hornell and sneakers for the soldiers.
Well, good afternoon to all. The showers will be moving out of the area this afternoon. We'll turn our attention then to a taste of winter that's coming up for later in the week. We'll talk about it all coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, November 5th, Election Day. Polls open until 9 tonight in New York, 8 in Pennsylvania. One of the hottest races in the Empire State is for Erie County Executive. Democratic incumbent Mark Poloncarz seeking a third term.
I've never gone through a marathon running one before, but I feel like it. The body is aching. I joke that this campaign has taken more out of myself and my campaign team.
Poloncarz facing a tough challenge, though, from longtime Erie County legislator Lynn Dixon.
It's nice to finally reach this point. It's been almost 1 year of campaigning, and I feel good about where we are. You know, I think we've left no stone unturned. I've worked as hard as I possibly could.
Besides Erie County, voters in nearby Monroe County also picking a county executive today. Voters in Western New York deciding a special election to fill the state Senate seat left vacant by the retiring Republican Kathy Young. And New York State also voting on some state Supreme Court justices today.
If you don't vote for your choice to govern you, I don't know what you're complaining about.
Today's vote in New York comes on the heels of early voting, which saw more than 250,000 ballots cast across the state. In Pennsylvania today, voters deciding on some judicial seats and a proposal to extend rights to crime victims. Up-to-the-minute statewide election results will also be available online tonight. Family Life's Terry Diener continues.
Pennsylvania officials say voters, candidates, and the press can find the earliest and most complete picture of the unofficial results of the election at the website. Results will be posted on electionreturns.pa.gov as the department receives reports from the counties after the polls close at 8 p.m. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Hornell, New York, in shock today after a caretaker was charged with murdering a man at a home for the physically and intellectually disabled. Police say Ark of Steuben employee Alan Schultes killed the 60-year-old patient yesterday. Hornell Mayor John Buckey.
Obviously, this is very unsettling, something like this to happen in the city of Hornell.
Steuben County District Attorney Brooks Baker says Schultes called 911 to try and make the murder look like an accident.
This is a situation where in approximately 8 hours, we've gone from a 911 call to arrest of someone for murder.
Police say the victim, Jay Sprague, died of a neck wound. There were four patients inside that home at the time of the murder. A Pennsylvania politician sponsoring legislation to ease the anguish of expectant parents who experience a miscarriage.
We lost our child, and then I lost his remains.
Republican Representative Frank Ryan says he and his wife went through a late-term miscarriage 40 years ago. After they tried to claim the remains, the hospital told them they were gone.
I think it's important that people hear the word that's used. It's medical hazardous waste. And for me, that's my child.
Ryan's legislation requires hospitals to give patients the option of receiving a child's remains in the event of a miscarriage.
It's strictly voluntary. Some of the initial reports came out and said that it wasn't. It was mandating a funeral, which is just pure nonsense. That would be cruel.
Planned Parenthood opposes the fetal remains legislation, arguing it's a veiled attempt to chip away at Roe v. Wade. Representative Ryan says nothing could be further from the truth.
If this bill does nothing else than help parents who are grieving realize that it's okay to grieve the loss of a child.
It is unclear whether Ryan's fetal remains legislation will be acted on before the end of the year. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf signing the PAGI bill into law. It allows members of the National Guard to go to college free or at a reduced price.
This is something that they ought to take advantage of. We want them to take advantage of because we're really proud of the service that they give to us. We're trying to give back to them.
Guard members who commit to an extra 6 years of service can get 5 years of free or reduced tuition for their spouses or kids.
Our families do sacrifice, whether it's while we're drilling or on a deployment, sometimes extended exercises. They truly are our support system. So now this is something that we as soldiers can give back to them.
Master Sergeant John Karpovich says the PAGI bill is expected to benefit around 8,000 Pennsylvania military families. The Southern Tier Tobacco Awareness Coalition hopes a new law in New York will lower the smoking rate across the Empire State. Next Wednesday, New York's legal smoking age will go from 18 to 21. Anti-smoking advocate Samantha White.
The goal of this policy is to eliminate the presence of tobacco in schools. This policy is going to hit ages 15 to 17 the hardest, as they normally acquire tobacco from older teens.
And the new law prohibits the sale of e-cigs to anyone under 21 as well. State lawmakers in New York considering legislation to regulate vaping products like e-cigs. Brad Hutton with the State Department of Health was recently asked, which is safer, smoking or vaping?
I think the analogy is like comparing two bombs and asking which is more explosive. They're both very dangerous to health.
State Senator Phil Boyle says he's torn on the issue of regulating vaping.
Because I get as many phone calls concerned about parents whose kids are vaping, and also longtime smokers who are begging us not to touch vaping because it helped them get off cigarettes.
But health experts say there are a number of other ways smokers can kick the habit other than vaping. Students in Kingston, Pennsylvania, raising money to buy sneakers for soldiers. At the Wyoming Valley West Middle School, the kids are eager to take part in the program.
I think it's a great cause. You know, we're helping the soldiers who don't get, like, sneakers. It's hard for them to get sneakers. It's a shame that we can't, like, afford it for them. And I think it's a great cause to donate the sneakers to them.
It's helping someone, and that's that's what we want to do in our school, is help people.
The students are collecting money to give to the not-for-profit group Sneakers for Soldiers. And the homeroom that raises the most money at that school will be treated to a pizza party. Well, the Giants, they fell to the Cowboys last night. Monday Night Football, Sunny Time, 2-minute drill.
Yeah, the Cowboys used a 21-point fourth quarter to pull away for a 37-18 win against the G-Men on Monday Night Football at MetLife Stadium. Daniel Jones threw for 210 yards, a touchdown, an interception for New York, but he was sacked five times and lost two fumbles for the Giants. He says, not good enough.
Anytime you turn the ball over, it's costly to the team. So, I gotta work on that and making sure I'm securing the ball.
Cowboys improved to 5-3. The Giants fall to 2-7 with their fifth straight loss. First loss of the year for the Philadelphia 76ers, falling to the Suns 114-109. Head coach Brett Brown.
Offensively, you know, I think our backcourt struggled. I think our bench, you know, had a down night.
Kyrie Irving with 39 points, 9 assists, 3 steals as the Nets beat the Pelicans 135-125. On the ice, Rangers fall to the Senators 6-2. Penguins fall to Boston 6-4. Are you ready for basketball? 100 college basketball games tonight, including number 1 Michigan State against number 2 Kentucky, 3rd-ranked Kansas against number 4 Duke, Bucknell at Fairleigh Dickinson, Cornell hosting Binghamton, Penn State hosting Maryland Eastern Shore. And Indianapolis Motor Speedway, under new management Roger Penske's Penske Entertainment, has agreed to purchase Indy Motor Speedway, the IndyCar Series, IMS Productions, and other properties.
The fact that you'd select us, it's an opportunity to take on this investment. It's amazing.
Penske Entertainment becomes the fourth owner of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. One more story. LeBron James making a new promise to families from the I Promise School, which he built. The NBA superstar announced yesterday that his foundation will provide transitional housing for at-risk families.
We want to do everything we can to make sure that these kids are successful. So we're taking this thing to a whole new level. I'm honored and I'm so excited to announce the I Promise Village by Graduate Hotels.
It will serve as an immediate shelter for families in need while still allowing I Promise students to attend classes. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, get the snow shovels ready, folks, especially if you live in ski country. Ministering to the men and women in blue, meet today's hometown hero and the Black Cat at MetLife last night.
What on earth could bring folks from the right and the left together today? Not much. But a new film by Dennis Prager is doing just that. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Speaking at the Obama Foundation Summit on Tuesday, former President Obama told his mostly young audience to, quote, get over wokeness. If I tweet or hashtag about how you didn't do something right or use the wrong verb, he said, then I can sit back and feel pretty good about myself because, man, you see how woke I was. That's not activism. That's not bringing about change. If all you're doing is casting stones, you're probably not going to get that far. Well, the former president's comment reminded me of a moment during his presidency when he denounced universities who disinvited conservative speakers because they were afraid of exposing students to differing points of view. That moment is featured in a brand new documentary by two people that you wouldn't necessarily expect to ever share a stage, conservative commentator Dennis Prager and liberal comedian Adam Carolla. These two men have launched an important new movie called No Safe Spaces. Through this film, Prager and Carolla are tackling the dangers of wokeness and the suppression of speech that's now taken over our nation's college campuses. The folks interviewed in the film represent almost every political and cultural view imaginable. From conservative comedian Tim Allen to liberal TV host Bill Maher, from liberal legal genius Alan Dershowitz to conservative commentator Ben Shapiro, from liberal Darwinian atheist biologist Brett Weinstein, the guy who touched off protests at Evergreen State when he refused to participate in a woke campus event, to former Oklahoma Wesleyan University president Everett Piper. We'll throw in the likes of Van Jones and Cornel West on the left, and Robert George on the right, and then Jordan Peterson, who's somewhere in between, and you've got an amazing variety of viewpoints from people who disagree about almost everything. But they do agree on this, that free speech on our campuses and in the public square is essential for a free society. As the film makes abundantly clear, the American experiment is based on our freedom to articulate, discuss, and engage differing viewpoints, including and even especially those viewpoints we vehemently disagree with. What is true? What is not true? What promotes human flourishing? What destroys it? How do we arrive at the common good? And how do we undermine it? Wrestling with these questions freely and openly lies at the heart of representative democracy, not to mention education itself. Losing the ability to wrestle with these questions means we become weaker people, more easily oppressed and ruled over, and ultimately it will spell the end of education and of representative democracy. Political censorship, suppressing ideas, shutting down or shouting down conversation only leads to tyranny, as Prager himself relates in the film. Earlier in his life, Prager was sent by the government of Israel to smuggle Jews out of the Soviet Union. He experienced their totalitarianism firsthand, a totalitarianism he says no American can understand, but every American should dread. No Safe Spaces was released just a week ago in a small number of theaters and is scheduled to open across the country in more communities over the next few weeks. And so far, the attendance has been encouraging. The more this film is seen in theaters, the more it will be shown in theaters. Having seen a screener of the film before its release, I can tell you it's very well done. It's an excellent, important documentary that clarifies why we must do everything we can to support freedom of speech on campus and in every public sphere. Take the teenagers and young adults in your life to see this film and then talk through its important ideas. Come to Breakpoint.org, click on this commentary. We'll link you to the website for No Safe Space. There, you can get information on where to watch the film, and you can also learn how to petition movie theaters near you to show how some ideas still can cross the political aisle. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour Tuesday afternoon, let's take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Showers pretty much done in western New York, western Pennsylvania, where skies will break a bit. A few showers elsewhere and cloudy, with high temps in the 40s and low 50s for most. Skies will partially clear tonight, but there'll be a touch of lake effect rain and snow this evening, east and northeast of Lake Erie. Low temps, upper 20s to the low 30s. Sun and clouds tomorrow in the 40s. Thursday, sprinkles and flurries evolve into some steadier light snow with temperatures falling, ultimately into the 30s. Does not look like a huge snow, but it does look like potentially slick travel for some areas, later Thursday night into Friday morning.
Thank Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, November 5th. Snowstorm will bring some accumulating snows to the lake belts of western New York, northwestern PA later this week. Again, Kevin Williams.
Timing has it Thursday from north to south as sprinkles and flurries change to light snow that continues into the evening. And most folks can expect a coating to an inch or two.
This will be the first area-wide snow event of the season. You can expect some slick travel, especially in ski country, late Thursday, 9 Americans killed in a Mexican cartel ambush south of the Arizona border. The victims include 3 women and 6 children. They were all part of the same Mormon family that had settled in northern Mexico. Correspondent Adrian Bard says there's still a lot police do not know.
Don't know yet if this was an attack on this family because of their stance as anti-organized crime activists, or whether they were just caught in the crossfire of the ongoing raging battle for control of the drug trafficking trade from Mexico to the United States.
That's Adrian Bard reporting from Mexico City today. Off-year elections in 4 states today could preview voter enthusiasm for the all-important 2020 vote. Votes today in Mississippi, Kentucky, Virginia, and New Jersey could test the waters for what the turnout will be next year.
I wouldn't read too much into the results of these elections as they apply to what may be happening a year from now.
Dave Leventhal with the Center for Public Integrity.
Local elections are local elections, and oftentimes they're just going to be localized to those communities without having any ties, strings, or national implications.
Polls open in New York until 9 tonight. You can vote in Pennsylvania till 8. The Democrat-led impeachment inquiry took an interesting twist today. Republicans want to call Adam Schiff as a fact witness. The GOP accuses the man heading up the probe of running a kangaroo court in deciding which witnesses to call and what testimony to make public.
They're trying to remove a sitting president for something that President Trump did in a conversation with President Zelensky that neither side felt was inappropriate. Zelensky never felt pressure. Ukraine got the money, and yet they still want to remove a sitting president, more because they want to undo the 2016 election than because there was some kind of quid pro quo wrongdoing.
House Minority Whip Steve Scalise says Democrats are making a mountain out of a molehill when it comes to the Ukraine phone call controversy. Donald Trump Jr. says he's taken a lot of heat for being the president's son, and he says former Vice President Joe Biden's son should be subject to the same type of scrutiny.
I've benefited from my father's name. I'm not going to hide from that. So has Hunter. I can't even fault him for that. There's a difference, though, when Hunter Biden is getting board seats coming back with $1.5 billion from China because of his father's taxpayer-funded office.
President Trump took to Twitter today to promote his son's new book, Stabbed to Death Over a Chicken Sandwich. That's the stunning headline in Oxon Hill, Maryland today, where a fight over a chicken sandwich at Popeyes led to a murder.
This individual was in line, a line specifically for the sale of the sandwich, and he got into an altercation, and that ended with the victim being stabbed outside of the business.
Police say they're still looking for the suspect. Starting later this month, New York State will raise the age for smoking from 18 to 21.
Yeah, on Wednesday, November 13th, the legal age for purchasing tobacco and e-cigarette products will go up in New York. It applies to traditional cigarettes as well as e-cigs and vaporizers. According to the New York Health Department, 27% of high schoolers in the state are now using e-cigarettes. Governor Cuomo said the decision was made to prevent more tobacco products from getting into the hands of our youth. 16 states have approved raising the smoking age to 21. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. The National Institutes of Health conducting a study that'll pay you $3,300 to get the flu on purpose. That's right. Researchers turning sick day into pay day for volunteers who agree to be infected with the influenza virus. The study looks at how our bodies combat seasonal illnesses. NIH has only taken 80 volunteers from Baltimore, St. Louis, Cincinnati, and Durham, North Carolina. Well, a lot of today's kids have all the right gadgets, but sophisticated digital skills, not so much. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
Playing Grand Theft Auto does not count as a digital skill, alas. A 12-country study ranks U.S. kids below Denmark, South Korea, and Finland, but ahead of Germany, France, and Chile. The study found they have some awareness of security risks in the digital world, but American kids are less likely to recognize sponsored content, be able to use mapping software, or know how to control color and text when creating a presentation. Skills they'll need to navigate the adult world.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome.
welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Ben Gehring from Jamestown, New York. He's the chaplain with the Jamestown Police Department. His job? Be a friend to the men and women in blue.
The typical day is relationship. I think more than anything, they're just are looking for just authentic relationship. There's about 62 of them. It's taken me and will take me a while to get to know everybody.
Yeah, you got some time. So you mentioned you get to do some ride-alongs with the officers.
Yeah. Oh, those are exciting. Yeah. It depends maybe on what shift and with who, but it's, you know, they have a lot of activity. So it can range from pullovers to a lot of domestic violence, unfortunately. And, you know, they've got their drugs and the guns and all that unfortunate stuff in the city.
So you get to visit with these officers in a setting that the general public usually doesn't get to see them in. What does a police officer tell you that they wouldn't tell me or someone else in the general population?
Well, we talk about their clientele. You know, I think probably the byproduct of the job is they have to find a way to laugh a lot. So they do have fun. It's been, you know, they have fun with each other, which has been great to see because they're definitely a community.
So you've been the chaplain for a couple months now. In the short time you've been there, Ben, have you had the opportunity to witness to some of these men and women?
Going in, it wasn't my goal to, and I don't think it was an expectation to proselytize. It was really the expectation to create an opportunity for outlet, to help diffuse and decompress, to learn how to cope with some of the hard things that they have to deal with and to see. So a huge part of that is building the relationship so that they know they can have a trusting outlet.
In your visits with the officers, are you finding a constant theme with them?
It's so hard to embody society when it's so fragmented and unhealthy. I mean, domestic violence, for instance, they see the same people over and over. In a city, you think that, oh, geez, you know, that wouldn't happen, but it's real. They come to know the people.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, Ben Gehring from Jamestown, New York, the chaplain with the Jamestown Police Department. And Ben, how do you help these officers kind of make sense of the, well, garbage they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis?
Well, honestly, I think that's a learning curve. Coming in to this side of serving the city is different than the past 7 years has been really serving the population of the city, and now it's serving the peacekeepers of the city. Learning about what crisis looks like and crisis intervention and even suicide prevention, it's a learning curve.
You mentioned the word peacekeepers, and a lot of times when you think of cops, you think of them coming in with guns ablazing and diffusing situations that way, but a lot of times it's just keeping the peace and using a calm voice and being a calming influence. More times than not, that's how tense situations are diffused, correct?
Yeah. Seeing these men and women on the force show up to really challenging situations, and the peacekeeper comes out, and it's just amazing to watch them diffuse tense moments, sometimes simple or complex arguments between people. It's not an act of force. It's the act of peace that comes out. It's just really amazing.
What do you enjoy most about being chaplain at Jamestown Police Department?
Being shoulder to shoulder with people who stand for justice, actually watching them really love a community. They oftentimes might not even realize it, but they're ministering every day to a community that if they didn't have them would be functioning out of bounds. Law enforcement as a whole has been getting a negative light. They stand a gap between dark and light.
And it's interesting, Ben, you use the word ministry to describe what a police officer does. I never would have used that word to describe their job.
Right. And that's really true, because, you know, ministry isn't waiting for people to come to us. Ministry is us being ready to go to them and to just be present. We were talking about the word ministry, and we can just throw it around. Well, I don't show up at their office and go, here, I'm here to do ministry. I show up because I want to just kind of disappear into what they do, because the last thing they need is some goofy preacher riding around with them going, oh, geez, you know, do you know about Jesus? No, I'll let them see Jesus, because it is ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to do ugly things.
Sure.
But I do know that if I show up with love and mercy and peace, just like they do, I'll have an opportunity to be their friend and to be there when they need it.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately that's the goal.
That's Ben Gehring from Jamestown, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
The Big Show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Showers pretty much done in Western New York, Western Pennsylvania, where skies will break a bit. A few showers elsewhere and cloudy with high temps in the 40s and low 50s for most. Skies will partially clear tonight, but there'll be a touch of lake effect rain and snow this evening east and northeast of Lake Erie. Low temps, upper 20s to the low 30s. Sun and clouds tomorrow in the 40s. Thursday, sprinkles and flurries evolve into some steadier light snow with temperatures falling, ultimately into the 30s. Does not look like a huge snow, but it does look like potentially slick travel for some areas later Thursday night into Friday morning.
Thanks for the heads up, Kevin. Finally at noon, a black cat scored a touchdown last night on Monday Night Football, and the announcers on ESPN, well, they had some fun making the call.
I mean, look at his change of direction.
He's got great lateral
movement. Oh, my goodness. Now, how do you get a cat? Who's got cat corralling skills in them?
The rogue feline scampered onto the field during the second quarter of last night's Giants-Cowboys game at MetLife Stadium. Kevin Harlan with the call.
Who brought the cat? He's walking to the three. He's at the two. Now a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field, and the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
The Giants could have used the cat and that touchdown. They lost to the Cowboys last night. That is the world we live in this Tuesday, as always. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.